Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Every once in a while, we gotta
the religious people.
There are 720 churches in Charlotte. I'm sure we can find one where you can stuff your face.
Shut up.
Quit pointing out the problem.
Men will be proud, arrogant, abusive. You watch some of today's rock star pastors, and you will see every characteristic Paul listed played out in vivid detail on the church stage.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hello, and welcome to 7-Eleven. No, not that kind. If it were, I'd have an Indian accent, but I can't do that because we're living in the 21st century, and that would be considered racist. This is Wretched Radio. What 7 and what 11 are we speaking about? Or, if you're a grammar Nazi, about what 7 and about what 11 are we referring to? Oops. You have no idea how painful it is. I have made some big mistakes in my life. But one of the ones that haunts me regularly is, welcome to Wretched. I'm your host, Todd. The wretch the song refers to. Every single time, just a little part of me dies on the inside. 7 disciplines to help you work through depression. Maybe this is hitting the bullseye of your life because this ho-ho-ho season is sometimes quite horrific for a lot of people. Or maybe depression / anxiety, worry, whatever synonym you care to use, is ongoing. It is perennial. It doesn't ever seem to abate. The fog never lifts. Paul Todgers, a biblical counselor who is often very helpful and super transparent, which is a really good quality of a biblical counselor, that an individual who goes into a biblical counseling session with confusion, with a need, some sort of a conundrum or a sin issue, marital problems, et cetera, to hear the biblical counselor say, I get that, been there, done that. Oh, that's just it. Not only does it have power, but that's what biblical counseling is all about. It is coming alongside of somebody. It is coming underneath somebody. It's not hovering over them. Welcome to your session. Let me click my clock. You've got 1 hour. And how does that make you feel? And then the psychiatrist or psychologist pontificates and supposedly always, at least according to television, offers some sort of silver bullet that always fixes the problem immediately, which is a bad expectation when it comes to dealing with emotional struggles. There's no silver bullet, including in Christianity. Even when an individual has an epiphany in which we don't do epiphany anymore. We're evangelicals. Even if the individual has an epiphany, it still likely needs to be worked out and practiced and implemented. Rarely is there just that one sentence that somebody utters that causes the light bulb to turn on, everything is illuminated, and all is well. Biblical counseling recognizes that. And biblical counseling is at its best when the Bible alone is being applied, and the one who's applying it shares that they need that Bible applied to their life too. By the way, next week, we're going to have Dr. Greg Gifford on. He's one of our fellows here at Fortis Institute because there's a little bit of, well, let me just read the headline, and then I won't be exaggerating anything. It's a statement from biblical counseling leaders on the subject of common grace, the sufficiency of Scripture, and conduct in contemporary conflict. There's a conflict out there. That means we've got to make a YouTube video out of it. Actually, we don't always need to do that. But this is a conflict that I think is worth bringing out into the open because it is a battle over biblical counseling and the sufficiency of the Bible in offering the correct diagnosis and prognosis of an individual's issues. Are we going to be biblical counselors or are we going to be integrationalists? So right now it appears that there's a little bit of a brouhaha. Dr. Greg Gifford, who is one of the authors of this document, is going to be joining us. If you want to get a preview of that, I believe the website is, Jimmy, would you be kind enough to check this out? Sufficiencyofscripture.org, I believe. Sufficiency of Scripture. Let's find out together, shall we? Because they're inviting people to sign that statement also. This is a big deal. This is all about the purity of biblical counseling. Furthermore, this could be an issue that divides biblical counseling. We've already got an integrationalist approach. That's called Christian counseling. Biblical counseling is supposed to be, you know, biblical. And I sure hope that this is not a new divider inside of biblical counseling. You know, sort of like all of the denominations that we see that, oh, that's a spinoff. Oh no, they came from that. Okay, so the ELCA is a combination of the LCA and the American Lutheran Church. Okay, got it. Okay, so that broke. Wait, they joined with. Oh, let's hope that does not happen. Hopefully this document is sufficient to make sure that it doesn't. You find it, Jimmy? No?
No, not yet.
Try sufficiency scripture, biblical counsel. Just use your Google machine, if you'd be so kind. Seven disciplines for working through depression. Number one, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Okay, Paul, I'm just going to have to assume he's a Southern Baptist. He alliterated all of these points. The first one is respect. And not everybody needs to hear this because there are some individuals who have the opposite malady. They perhaps take too good of care of themselves and spend too much time relaxing, resting, and doing R&R. But there are many who are perhaps experiencing a low level of joy, shall we say, because they aren't taking care of themselves. Here's what Todges wrote. Respect includes conscious consideration of God's design for the orderliness of our life, bodily rest, recreation. He knows we're but dust. And so depression can be aggravated by, here's a list, relentless abuse of our minds and bodies through an obsession with work. And Jimmy, what in the world could he be talking about, people with an obsession of work? What's your mantra, by the way, Jimmy?
Radio is my life.
Yeah, exactly. Failing to cooperate with God's design for rest and recreation. Providential weights also impact us more. And what he means by that is, for instance, being on call 24/7 to take care of somebody else. That's just a weight. You've got yourself a prodigal child. It's just heavy all the time. It's hovering out there. It never goes away. Little respect for diet, exercise, sleep habits, work schedule, financial limitations may increase depression, which stems from the burdens of an undisciplined life. Ooh, that might have stung if you're a workaholic. Because you think you got it all under control, but is it possible work has you under its control? So he encourages things like, you know, exercise and rest. If you're not an exercising type because you don't feel like it, that's something you need to overcome. Because the more you exercise, the more you exercise. No, I wasn't repeating myself. The more you exercise, the more you're just going to do it. And you will find yourself, when you miss an exercise session, going, I don't feel right. Well, there's a reason. There's a connection between the inner man and the outer man. It's a difficult one to pinpoint exactly, but we all know it to be true. You don't get rest. Your body gets tired. You, inner man, get crabby. How's about a child who's just flailing out of control? They get a little tap to the nether regions, and all of a sudden, oh, they're better. What just happened? Their outer man, it had an effect on the inner man. So here's perhaps a list of motivators. Exercise relieves stress and anxiety. It alleviates depression. It treats mild to moderate depression as effectively, I would say more, as antidepressant medicines, because needless to say, those are very problematic. Exercise improves our mood. Exercise sharpens our brain power. Jimmy, why isn't I smarter then? I exercise. Okay, we walk a lot. Exercise assists in energy gain because it has a rejuvenating effect. That's our first hour. Number two, repent. There you might be bummed. Read Psalm 32 and you're going to see it. David had not confessed his sins and he ached. If you're depressed, have you done a heart check? It might not be a mood disorder. It could be a sin problem that needs to be dealt with. Replace, number three. Depression is commonly caused by false thinking patterns that must be corrected. You're thinking wrongly about God, about self. Your circumstances are interpreted incorrectly. That could require an adjustment. And that is why biblical counseling, it does need to fall underneath the umbrella of the priesthood of all believers. We need each other for this. I can't always figure these things out about myself. Isn't that interesting? Those of us who do indeed know everything rarely know our own hearts, because we always tend to give ourselves a favorable review in pretty much every regard. We need one another to help us with these things. But you say, Friel, that's only three out of the seven. You are correct. So we will deal with the other three, and then we will tackle 11 hindrances to answered prayer. Ooh, got your attention. And as long as I do, please visit FortisInstitute.org. Now is the ho-ho-ho season, where ministries like us depend on gifts from people like you. We have a matching grant. It's a big one. We would be so grateful if you'd partner with us at this time of year. FortisInstitute.org. This is Wretched Radio.
You ever wonder what happened if biblical truth wasn't just for Sunday mornings anymore? Well, that's exactly what's happening at Fortis Institute. 8 brand new voices in our ministry reaching millions of people. New and more radio stations are coming aboard, and churches are getting stronger through solid teaching. And what if I told you right now your gift could help us reach as twice as many people? Thanks to a matching grant, every dollar you give before December the 31st is going to be doubled. No gimmicks, no complicated math, just doubled impact. What if your gift could help strengthen churches all across America? What if you could help put solid teaching in the hands of people who are tired of watered down truth? And what if you could be part of making churches strong again? We're expanding our reach, and we're equipping more believers than ever before. And right now, your impact gets doubled automatically. There's no catch, no fine print, just more truth reaching more people. Visit FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org, because making a real difference in today's society might actually be simpler than you think.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know how everybody's always trying to sell you something? This is different. We're actually giving away more content than most ministries charge for. The Fortis Plus app, daily videos, podcasts, director's cuts, news, completely free. All of this happens because of gospel partners just like you. Our gospel partners are the ones that get it. They see what we're doing, standing firm on biblical truth, strengthening churches, and helping people think biblically about everything going on in our upside down world. And that's why we want to ask you, if you're not already a gospel partner, we would love for you to join us. Maybe you've been listening for a while, and maybe you're thinking someone should help keep this going. Well, that someone could be you. Would you pray about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Just head over to FortisInstitute.org right now. That's FortisInstitute.org, and get all of the answers to all of the questions you likely have about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Books of the Bible. Titus was an apprentice and fellow missionary with Paul, left on the island of Crete to organize the churches there. The Book of Titus is a manual regarding the character, behavior, and doctrine of church leaders and church members.
All of these commands are grounded in the gospel of Jesus Christ, what he has done for us and who we are in him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey guys, I want to share with you one way to be merry this Christmas.
This is Wretched Radio. That is, or at least it's the voice of Dr. Greg Giffert. And this is Wretched Radio with hopefully a hot take from one of our fellows, a.k.a. Dr. Greg Giffert, to help you have a meaningful Christmas. Don't we all kind of long for a Christmas that's more than just the tinsel and the food? As fun as that stuff is, how often do we lament that Christmas has become so commercialized and it just doesn't seem to be focusing on the birth of the Savior? Well, there is a way to change that, not for the country, but for you.
And it's by serving other people. When you serve other people, you fulfill your purpose. Ephesians 2:10 says that you were created for good works. That's literally why we're here, is to do good works, to glorify God. Number two.
Before you get to number two, Dr. Giffert, don't forget Jesus came to serve. So when you're serving at Christmas, instead of expecting to be served in whatever form that manifests itself, you're acting like Jesus. That is bound to make your Christmas better.
Jesus said, and Paul quotes Jesus in Acts 20:35, that it's more blessed to give than to receive. When you serve other people, it actually brings you greater joy than just accumulating more and more and more. And lastly, you find joy in putting others' interests before your own. Philippians 2:3, 4, and 5. So this Christmas season, be merry by serving other people.
That is a very good word. Dr. Greg Giffert, one of our fellows at Fortis Institute, you can find him as well as our other fellows, their podcasts, which are the bomb diggity, fortisinstitute.org, especially if you'd like to join us for our matching year-end gift campaign. And then all of the stuff that our fellows produce is at fortisplus.org. Perhaps that will be a good word to help you. We talked about this earlier this week. And if you heard what we said about Christmas and shifting our focus from expecting Christmas to make us holly and jolly to thinking about others and our mission on this planet is to join Jesus in his mission to save sinners, that brings purpose and meaning and fulfillment to Christmas, as opposed to being crushed when it doesn't turn out to be as Currier and Ives as you want it to be, because that's a low goal. A higher goal is loving those people who come to my house, especially those of the household of faith, but including those who aren't saved. To be on a mission with Jesus to see the lost found, that'll change your Christmas. But so too might these seven disciplines for working through depression from Paul Todgers. If you recall, he's on an alliteration kick. Discipline number one, respect. And realize you're human. You need rest. You need good food. You need to exercise. Number two, repent. You got some sin going on. That could be why you are feeling the blues. Number three, replace. If your thinking patterns are not aligned with the Bible, then you need a realignment, because you're thinking wrongly about God, about your situation. Why do these things happen to me, etc.? And you need to replace bad thinking with right thinking. Number four, remain. Jesus says he wants us to abide in him. Well, how does that work? How do we abide in him? Well, you persevere in the faith, but then you also partake of the means of growth. So you read your Bible. You go to church. You get involved at church. You fellowship with other believers. You pray. You participate. Oh, the other day, Jimmy. Oh boy, did I blow it. And I got rightly tagged. I called the Lord's table a sacrament.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, thank you for correcting me on that. It is an ordinance. It doesn't have any special power beyond. It is a tactile representation of the gospel, where we literally taste, drink, chew the gospel, because we remember the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Do those things and you'll abide. Number five, remember. Remember all the Lord has done, not just for you. That's a good thing too. Remember all the Lord has done for you. All right, your left knee aches. How's your right one? Feels good? Thank the Lord. All of the things that you look back on your past life and you can say, he was good, he was good, he was good, because he's always good. But then you can go even further. You can hear testimonies from other believers and realize, wow, he's working in other people's lives because he's good. Then you can dive into your church history if you'd like to and see the Lord's goodness throughout the centuries. Then you can jump into your Bible and you can see how the Lord has been good. Every single page of the Bible tells us he's good. That helps the depression when you remember the good things God has done. Number six, review. Continually review the truths about God that you know from his word. So memorize Bible verses. And when you're feeling that way, recall them, review them, rehearse them. I think I just added another R to his alliteration. And finally, number seven, rest. You just take some time out and rest in him, I would add. Stop resting in you. That is our propensity. I trust me. I rest in me. I rely on myself. Stop it. Rest in him. That might help you not have the holiday blues. But now we move on to our 11 in our 7-Eleven. Did you know that 70% of, at least according to the internet, 70% of all 7-Elevens are owned by people from India? I'm just saying. I'm not saying that, therefore, we can use an Indian accent when we're talking about 7-Elevens, because that's just been deemed unfunny to do that, even though it simply represents, you know, reality. What a joyless lot we've become. Here we go. 11 reasons your prayers might not be getting answered. These are taken from the Bible. This is from Kenneth Birding. One, you're not asking for anything. What did James say? You don't have because you don't ask. Are you wanting something? As long as it is in alignment with God's will, which is another one of the reasons your prayers might not be getting answered, is because it doesn't match what he wants for you. But when you have a desire inside of your heart, you can express that to God. He's a good God. He's a giving God. Ask him. Number two, asking with wrong motives, because you ask wrongly. You want to spend it on your passions. Do you think that God is going to be annoyed with you if you are pleading with him? Please help me to share the gospel with 10 people today. He loves that prayer. Hey, Lord, how's about $10 million in my bank account before the close of the day today? Okay, probably not as in alignment with his prayers, especially if you, did I just step on a prayer toe?
Those are my prayers.
I did this just for you. Number three, nurturing sin in our hearts. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Oh, is there iniquity in your heart? Maybe that's why he's not responding the way you'd like. Number four, not believing. You got to ask in faith without doubting. This is something I think we could do better. I think those of us who are sovereigntists have perhaps tilted a little bit too far in that direction, in that we don't pray with expectation, believing that God will actually do it. Somebody's in a hospital bed and they're really sick. Do you really pray expecting that God is going to heal them? All right, or I'm not suggesting that you can or can't pray this, but somebody is, they are definitely declining and they are moving toward death, right? If you're going to pray that God would save their lives, pray it or don't. Because if you're not earnest about it, could be a reason that God is not answering your prayers. Believe him for his good things. Giving up might be another reason. Two parables to encourage people to not give up when they pray. You recall the two parables. Persistent prayer, the neighbor in the middle of the night. What about the widow who kept entreating a judge to give her justice? Keep on. You just, what? You would get up. Somebody kept knocking. Well, God isn't crabby that way, but ditto with your prayers. Not asking according to God's will, that's the aforementioned. Here's one for you, sir. This is slightly debatable, but I'm going to include it anyway. A husband not living with his wife in an understanding manner, 1 Peter 3:7. Your prayers aren't going to be heard. How's your relationship with your wife? A lack of concern for the poor, say what? Whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered. Zoinks, Scoob. These are all heart issues. These are all reasons that God might not be answering your prayer the way you want, because God always answers prayers. But if you're getting this persistent no, maybe you just want to do a little bit of heart examination to ask, am I needing an adjustment on any of these issues? And then get back on your knees, continue to pray, believing that God is a God who loves to give good gifts to his children. This is Wretched Radio.